Lord, I thank you that your word is eternal and your word is timely. And let it be that you equip us through your word for what is ahead in our lives. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Some of you are going to be in situations tomorrow, some of you next week, and some of you in the weeks and months after that, where you're going to have to make decisions. You're going to face defining moments in your life, and in order to make those decisions well, you will have to exercise discernment. You'll have to have discernment, and discernment is not the kind of thing that just drops down from heaven automatically. We have to prepare ourselves and make ourselves ready in order to be discerning. We have to learn how to get ourselves ready. And I can tell you this, you may be in a situation right now that seems impossible. I talked to someone today who had such a difficult situation, and I said, what could you possibly do to make this better? And she said, I have no idea. Maybe you're in that kind of situation where it's not a matter of exercising wisdom. It's that there simply is no way. You may be in an impossible situation. But I want to tell you something. Our God has a way with impossible situations. Nothing is too difficult for Him. Now, some of us come close to being too difficult for Him. And that's why we have to give Him something to work with. If we're just resisting Him or ignoring Him or not making ourselves ready, it's not that God couldn't bring us out into what He has. It's that we wouldn't be ready to go. And even when He's trying to lead us, we're not ready to be led. So I want to equip you. I want you to be alert to something. We need to be prepared to receive guidance from the Lord. We need to make ourselves ready for that, because there's going to come a moment when you need to make a decision. You're going to need discernment, not just wisdom. You're going to need to be led to the right place, to the right person, to the right situation. Or like Brian's son, you're going to need to find the right door to go through. And you may be like Alex, who was banging on the wrong door, trapped, but he wasn't trapped. And if you have discernment, you won't have to bang too long on that locked door. And you won't have to just cry out, oh, why am I trapped like this? Doesn't God even love me anymore? You just need to turn around, discern that there is another way to go. Sometimes God will not take a difficult situation away from you. If you're only praying in times of difficulty, God, take me away. Take this difficulty away. His answer would be, no. I'm not going to take this difficult situation away, but I'm going to take you through this difficult situation. And I want to help get you ready tonight so God can lead you and He can guide you. And we're going to look at a wonderful example of a man who had an impossible situation. He had an assignment that you really shouldn't try to do. And that is, he had to find the perfect wife for another man. Oh, me. That takes not only chutzpah, it takes something else, doesn't it? It's hard enough finding a perfect wife for yourself. But to find a perfect wife for someone else, that takes a lot. This week's Torah reading is called Parshat Chaye Sarah, The Life of Sarah. And it starts with the death of Sarah and then Abraham burying her in the cave of Machpelah. And it ends many years later with the death of Abraham, and Isaac and Ishmael together bury him next to Sarah in the same cave, the same burial tomb. But it's the middle part of the portion that I want to look at tonight, because it's a fascinating story about Abraham's oldest and most trusted servant, who's not actually named in this reading, but he's named earlier as Eliezer. And he has been given the assignment to find a perfect wife for Isaac, to find Isaac's Basheret, his soulmate. And you and I need what Eliezer had. He was led by the Spirit. He depended on God for guidance. He operated with discernment, and we need the same thing. How many of you would feel better if tomorrow the Spirit of God was leading you? If you actually were depending on God, aren't there times in our lives when we're depending on ourselves? You know, we've prayed, we've asked God for help, but in the meantime, we're working our plan. And we're using our resources, our talents, our abilities, our gifts, our experience. We're using everything we've got, and it's not enough. Have you ever gotten to the end of yourself after you've prayed? You know, you pray, Lord, I'm committing all of this to you. And then you go and you work in your own strength and in your own power. We need to be led by the Spirit of God and to depend on God. We're going to pick up the story in Genesis chapter 24, starting in verse 3, where Abraham tells his trusted servant Eliezer it's time for Isaac to marry. But Isaac must not take a wife from among the Canaanites. So there's no woman in the promised land who is the right woman for Isaac. And Abraham says that Eliezer must go back to Abraham's homeland, to Abraham's relatives, and take a wife for Isaac from among them. And Eliezer has a very simple question in verse 5. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? That's a good question, isn't it? I want you to find the perfect wife for my son. Well, I think I ought to take him with me. So at least he can confirm this. And Abraham says to him in verse 6, I love this translation, beware that you do not take my son back there. Be careful. I'm warning you. Don't make a mistake. He cannot go with you. Now, can you imagine the weight of that on Eliezer? You mean I've got to go all the way back to where you came from, and I've got to find the woman that Isaac is going to be in love with, and they haven't even met each other, and I can't even take him with me? I would probably say, well, can I at least ask him what he wants? Could you give me a description? Could you draw me a picture? Could you do something? But Eliezer does not depend on Isaac here. He's depending on the Lord. And there's a reason he can do that. It's because Abraham is giving him this assignment, and Abraham is depending on the Lord. And Abraham has this kind of faith in God that is infectious. This is what Abraham says. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Now, where it says his angel, that's like a Hebrew way of saying he will go before you. He himself. Many times in the scriptures it talks about the angel of the Lord. And it's actually the Lord himself. But it's an interesting way of describing the Lord. So Abraham was confident of God's guidance. And I want you to notice the power of Abraham's confidence in God, because you may need to exercise the same kind of confidence yourself. And I want you to notice that Abraham's faith is not blind faith. You see, Abraham has the faith that has already seen. He has already seen what God does. He has already seen what God is like. He knows that God is trustworthy. He has had experiences where God has come to him and said, this thing needs to happen. This thing will happen. And then it was fulfilled. Everything that God had said he would do, God had fulfilled. And so Abraham knew that God was going to guide Eliezer. Abraham had such faith in God that he could trust Eliezer to seek out the spouse. You see, Abraham had the kind of faith that says, I know God is trustworthy. I remember what he has already done. Some of you are struggling in your relationship with God because you've forgotten what God has already done. You make yourself strong if you remember, if you recount, if you tell other people. You see, one of the ways that you overcome opposition is by having a word of testimony. A word of testimony is just a fancy way of saying you have experience with God that you tell other people about. And you say, this is what happened to me. This is what God has done. Abraham had that kind of experience. He remembered what God had already done. And so he could say regarding Eliezer, I am sure God is going to lead you. I have experience. I put myself in God's hands, and I found out I can count on God, and you can count on him too. One of the reasons we're not effective with some people when God has brought them into our lives and God is using us to lead them into a relationship with God, one of the reasons we're not effective is because we talk only about ideas. And we talk about theological things and principles of truth, but we don't tell people about what God has actually done for us. And you will overcome much opposition when you have a testimony, when you have experience, when you can say, this is what happened. You can even smile when you're saying it. You can say outrageous things that are true if they happen to you. There are times when people ask me, how could you possibly be Jewish and believe that Yeshua is the Messiah? And I say, you really want to know? And I've had people say, yeah, I really want to know. And I say, you are much more open than I was. You see, because I resisted much more strongly than you're resisting. And then there have been times when someone was really digging into my story and I had to tell them something that was outrageous for them. And I said, well, I don't know how to explain it any other way, but I had a supernatural encounter with God where he called me by my name. And I can laugh when I'm telling certain people that because I know if I don't laugh, they will certainly think I'm just crazy. But if I understand that this is a little odd for some people, then they can understand that maybe it's not unreal. It's just unusual. Sometimes if you don't take yourself too seriously, you can actually connect with people who are trying to take you seriously. But if you take yourself too seriously, they can't take you seriously. And so it's useful to be comfortable with your own testimony and to be able to tell people things that have happened to you the way they happened. You don't have to explain it all. You don't have to justify it all, but you can just say, well, this is what happened. And then they can wrestle with it. It's a wonderful thing. When you have Abraham's kind of faith, other people will catch it from you. There's something infectious about genuine, deeply held confidence and trust in God. When you have the experience to back it up and you can say, I trusted God in certain situations and he helped me. And you tell the story of God's victory in your life, it will make a big difference. Even so, Abraham gives Eliezer an out. Because remember, he's saying to Eliezer, I want you to go to a distant land and I want you to find the right woman. Not just a woman, but the right woman. And I want you to bring her back here for my son. And Abraham gives him this one out. If the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. But do not take my son back there. Isaac cannot go back. Eliezer cannot take Isaac back there. Isaac was born in the promised land. He needs to stay in the promised land. And Abraham is giving to Eliezer a warning. He's giving him boundaries. He's saying, you have to be fully responsible for this, but here are the boundaries. You can't do anything that you want and everything that you want. You have to do certain things certain ways. Some people never get large assignments because they don't want the boundaries. I've known many guys who say to their wives, you can either tell me what to do or you can tell me how to do it, but you can't tell me what to do and how to do it. How many guys have had that experience? Honey, just tell me what you want. Don't tell me how. But when it comes to God, there are certain assignments where He insists on telling us what to do and how to do it, and He gives us boundaries. Sometimes we don't want to accept responsibility when we're in that kind of situation. And yet, these boundaries are for our protection and for our success. Abraham knew that the taking of a wife for Isaac was meant to be a turning point, a defining moment, and many things in the future would depend on this. How did Abraham know that? Well, remember, he had taken some matters into his own hands, and he had done in his own power something to try to bring forth the covenant son that God said he would be responsible to bring forth. And so Abraham had a firstborn son, Ishmael, who was not the covenant son through whom God was going to bring forth the people Israel and fulfill all of God's promises to Abraham and thus the whole world. So Abraham knew there's danger. There's danger when you take matters into your own hands and you try to do them your own way. He wasn't lecturing Eliezer. He was just saying, don't go your own way. And he gave these warnings. It reminded me of the story I told last week when Sandy and I were in Jerusalem and we were trying to get to the Dead Sea. And we were going down a road that on the map looked like the right road. But we were waved down by a postcard salesman who said, you can't go this way. And of course, he didn't know where we were going. He didn't know our destination. And yet, when we stopped for him, and he explained that because our car had Israeli license plates, just a few hundred yards away, we would be stoned. It was during one of the intifadas. And he was a warning from God to protect us and to redirect us. And God will often warn us so that we can get on the right road. If we're on the wrong path or we've made a wrong turn, He will give us a warning. But if we persist in going forward, we really have to be responsible for the consequences ourselves. So Abraham was giving Eliezer God's warning, and Eliezer heeded the warnings. I bring this to your attention because some of you are in situations where you're receiving warnings and yet it's hard to acknowledge it or hard to respond to it. And I just want to encourage you, open your heart to the warnings that God is setting before you. Take them seriously and use them for their purpose. They will protect you. Well, I want to look at Eliezer very carefully. His name, Eliezer, means my God will help. And I love this because I suspect, because he was a Syrian, that this was what Abraham called him. Because Abraham had learned he could trust Eliezer. But the name Eliezer, my God will help, makes this man like a walking billboard who's declaring the faithfulness of God. Every time you call his name, Eliezer, you're saying, my God will help. Come over here, my God will help. And Eliezer sets out on the journey that Abraham has appointed for him, and he is ready to fulfill the assignment. I want to pay attention to the kind of commitment that Eliezer had. Because Eliezer decided he would go. He didn't go by himself. He took a contingent with him, 10 camels and lots of stuff. Probably had a good-sized group that went, but he bore all the responsibility and he was personally responsible. And I've been thinking about the different kinds of responses Eliezer could have had when this assignment was proposed. One of them is a half-hearted response. Do you know what I mean by that? When you say, well, sure, I'll try. Another one is an indecisive response about following God and depending on the Lord. And he could have said, well, I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens. Maybe this will work out. Maybe it won't. Or he may have had an unspoken response. Have you ever been asked to do something and you haven't decided whether you're really going to do it or not? And so you don't even answer? But by your silence, you give the impression you're saying yes. This is sometimes takes the form of passive aggression, where inside you're saying no, but outside everyone understands you're saying yes. Is this familiar to you, either by experience or, you know, someone's done it to you? You know, like that little kid in class who kept standing up, his teacher kept making him sit down, and finally he stayed in the seat and he said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. So we can have unspoken responses where we're not really committed. It may appear we're committed, but we're not really. We haven't let our yes be yes. Or we can also have this response where we say, we'll settle this later. I'm going to think about it, but I'm not really sure. But I want to tell you this, anything less than single-minded commitment will weaken our ability to fulfill our commitments. If you're not single-minded and you face resistance and you're trying to do something that you don't really care about, you don't care if you fulfill it or not, you can say, I knew this wasn't going to work. You can say, I told him so. So many different ways we can respond. But Eliezer made a strong personal commitment. And I think that was one key that prepared himself to be able to receive guidance from the Lord. Without that kind of commitment, why should God even bother to guide us? This is what the Apostle Yaakov, James, says. The double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He will not receive what he asks for. You see, a person without single-minded commitment can just be tossed to and fro. He's like a ship without an anchor, a ship in a stormy sea. He has no stability. And that person, Yaakov says, should not expect to receive what he's asking for. If you want guidance from the Lord, you've got to be strong in your commitment. You've got to be single-minded in your commitment. A lack of commitment all by itself can be enough to undermine everything. When we say, I give up, that means our commitment's over. When we give in, or when we say, I don't care, I really don't care anymore. Or when you say inside, it doesn't matter to me whether this happens or not. Can you imagine Abraham is saying, I need the perfect wife for my son, and Eliezer saying, half the marriages end in divorce. Let's flip a coin and find a woman. You know, it really doesn't matter to me how this turns out. Whenever you have that kind of lack of commitment, you'll undermine everything. But Eliezer's commitment is not only solemn, it's not only strong, it's deeply personal. This is something I really like about Eliezer. It has maybe three aspects to it, person to person. You see, Eliezer made a commitment to Abraham. There was loyalty between Eliezer and Abraham. They trusted each other. The second aspect to it was what I call person to self. Eliezer made the commitment to himself. Have you ever, as a child, crossed your fingers behind your back? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And then you have this option later when you don't do the thing. You say, well, my fingers were crossed. And that was this way of saying one thing, but not really meaning it to ourselves. We said it to another person, but we didn't make that promise to ourselves. But what I love about Eliezer is he's true to himself, and he is committed to himself as well as to Abraham. And then there was the third aspect, which is the person to God. Because Eliezer is not just making a commitment to himself that he wants to fulfill. He's not just making a commitment to Abraham, but he's making a commitment to God. And he's saying, God, I understand how much depends on this, and I am committed to you. I'm going to depend on you. It doesn't matter what the difficulty is that I face. I'm going to trust you through this. And when you have all three of these aligned, you will really have strength. So with that strength, Eliezer went to Abraham's homeland, and God guided him to a certain place at a certain time, looking for a certain woman. It's not like looking for a needle in a haystack. It was a very different process. Eliezer was being led to a place. And he goes to that place, and he expects to meet the woman he needs to meet. He doesn't expect to meet lots of women and then say, wow, how would we ever pick thee from among these? You see, when the time comes, he knows he will be at the right place. He'll be at the right time, but he's going to need discernment. He's going to need to be able to recognize the will of God and recognize the woman. And discernment is not like wisdom. Some people choose to marry someone because they don't have wisdom. Other people just lack discernment. They marry the wrong person because they weren't discerning of anything. They maybe have lots of wisdom, but they didn't exercise any discernment. And when I think of discernment, I think of that kind of knowing that depends on being able to recognize things that aren't obvious. And it's especially important for recognizing the will of God in a situation and seeing a situation from God's perspective. When we have discernment, we're now looking at that situation the way God is looking at it. We're using our eyes to perceive what God is wanting to show us. If you're looking in other ways, it's not really discernment. And Eliezer was ready to practice discernment. I want to go to verse 42, which jumps ahead in the story. Eliezer has arrived in that land. He has come to that place. He has found the woman he believes to be the Basharat, the soulmate for Isaac. And now he's gone to her family, and he's going to tell her family the story of how he got there. And he starts at the very beginning when Abraham is saying, you've got to go to my land. And he tells them the background of Abraham and how Abraham had the son in his old age. He tells them everything. So you know what he's doing? He's declaring his testimony. This is what God has done. This is what I have experienced. And then in verse 42, we come to this place where he's describing what happened earlier that day. And he says, when I came to the spring today, I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I'm standing beside this spring. If a maiden comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from the jar, and if she says to me, drink, and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Isn't that an odd thing to say? I think that was born out of something, that learning how to pray what God has written on your heart. It's a long journey. God was surely speaking to Eliezer so he would be prepared for this moment. And I can imagine that on that journey, riding all the way back to the homeland of Abraham, Eliezer saying, "Lord, what should I be looking for?" And by the time he's there, something's in his heart. Something's in his mind. It's like, I need to look for a woman who's going to show kindness to my animals, to my 10 camels, and the others that are with me, who is not only going to be kind to me, but kind to them. And that becomes like the thing he's praying. Remember what Yeshua said? If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. And remember what Abraham said? The angel of the Lord is going to go with you on this journey. Well, if you understand the angel of the Lord, the presence of God is Yeshua, then in a way, Yeshua was with Eliezer. And so Eliezer is able to do what Yeshua later explicitly teaches us, to ask what's been put into your heart because you've been abiding with the Lord. It's not presumptuous to ask that way, because you're allowing the Lord to put things into your heart. You're not demanding of God that he agree with you. You're agreeing with him. You're saying amen to the things he's saying. And so I understand this is the kind of thing that's happening with Eliezer. And so Eliezer says, let this be the case. And he continues in verse 45. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and she drew water, and I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll water your camels too. And so I drank, and she watered the camels also. And I asked her, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. And then I put a ring in her nose and bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and I worshiped the Lord and I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham. Look at this. Who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Can you see how excited he was? Wow, I came all this way. And I actually went exactly to this perfect woman. At least I think she's the perfect one. And then verse 49. Here's something very interesting. Because many people are lost in super spirituality. They're 100% confident in the way they think they're following the Lord. But Eliezer was not like that. He understood that for things like this to work out, everybody has to deal honestly and correctly with one another. And things can go wrong if people's hearts are in the wrong place. And so in verse 49, he's now speaking to Rebekah's family, and he says, now if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me so that I may know which way to turn. God got me this far. I'm giving you one chance. Are you going to deal faithfully with Abraham or not? Because if you're not going to deal faithfully with him, I'm out of here. I'm not wasting my time. I am serious. I'm on assignment and I'm going to fulfill my call. And if you're not going to be honest and if you're not going to be kind and generous regarding these things, I will go another way. Isn't that a cool position to take? This is a man who's got some chutzpah. But he's also not ready to just shrug his shoulders and say, whatever happens, happens. He wants things right. And so Laban and Bethuel answer. This is a great answer. They say, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here's Rebecca, take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son as the Lord has directed. And when they got up the next morning, Eliezer said, okay, send me back home. Send me on my way to my master. But Rebecca's brother and her mother said, well, let the girl remain with us 10 days or so, and then you may go. You can see the character of this family. And, you know, in the next generation, it's even worse. But Eliezer, verse 56, says to them, don't hinder me. Don't detain me. Now that the Lord has granted success to my journey, send me on my way so that I may go to my master. You see, this is not a leisure trip. This is not a vacation for Eliezer. This is an assignment from God. He's not even interested in resting to be refreshed. He's interested in getting back with Isaac's wife. And so they say, well, let's call the girl and we'll ask her about it. And so they called Rebecca and they asked her, will you go with this man? Now, a lot of women would say, can you show me a picture of the guy first? But this is her lech lecha moment. You see, when you join yourself to the people Abraham, the call of Abraham becomes manifest in your own life. Abraham, lech lecha, get yourself up, leave your family, leave your land, go somewhere to a land I'll show you. And now this is Rebecca's lech lecha moment. And she says, I will go. Just like that. Somehow it was in her heart to marry Isaac, who she had never met. Now, just so that you know, the Jewish sages do not believe this is the normal way to find a spouse. However, this was an exceptional way, and it required strong guidance and responsiveness. This woman was Isaac's soulmate, and she knew it. And Eliezer knew it, and when Isaac finally saw her, he knew it too. And they looked at each other, and something happened that had already happened. Now, if you're looking for your soulmate, or if someone's trying to help you find your soulmate, you will need discernment, and I encourage you to get yourself ready. We have two soulmates here. The Sharkey soulmates, Daniel Sharkey and his new bride, Bethany Sharkey. Congratulations. Congratulations. But not all of you are at a turning point where you're trying to find a husband or a wife. You've got other turning points and you need guidance and you need discernment. And it may have nothing to do with a spouse. It may have nothing to do with some kind of task that you're trying to accomplish. But it may be that you're just on a journey and you're looking for God. And you're looking for truth, and you didn't expect that the journey would lead you to Yeshua. But it has. And if you're such a person, I want to pray for you tonight, whether you're here in this room or whether you're listening later on a CD or by podcast. I want to pray that you'll stay on the path that God is leading you on. This is the right path. And that your heart will be open and that you will be alert to what God is doing. And that you'll discern that Yeshua is Adonai. You've been asking God for bread. You've been asking Him for something. He's not giving you stones. He's answering you. And He's bringing you to Yeshua, even though you weren't looking for Him. But He is the one you were looking for, even though you didn't really know it. And I just want to take a moment and pray for you. Lord, I pray for those men and women who are hearing my voice even right now, who thought maybe it was a mistake that they were here. Or they can't explain why they found themselves listening or hearing this. And it's not a mistake. You, Lord, heard the cry of their heart. They were looking for You. Lord, I pray for these men and these women that they would take you seriously. And they would say, oh, thank you, Lord, for hearing my cry. Thank you for Yeshua. I want to know him. I want to follow Yeshua. I want to give my life to him. Let this be an important step in their journey. Thank you, Lord, that as you led Eliezer, you are leading us. And that even though we don't know how to find that road, how to find that way, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Thank you that the Son is leading us to the Father and the Father is leading us to the Son. We bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Well, anybody who feels like they need more discernment and you want to prepare yourself, would you stand up for just a minute? I want to pray just a blessing on you as we close. Lord, let it be that our hearts are open to be led by you, and let it be that we make strong commitments to depend on you, to follow you, to fulfill the things that you've assigned to us. And let it be, Lord, that we are single-minded in our decisions and in our commitments, that we would be so stable that we will receive what it is that we're asking for. I pray, Lord, for your blessings on the men and the women who are asking to be made ready in order to discern. And when the time comes for that release of discernment, let their ears hear. Let their eyes see. And let them decide wholeheartedly to walk in your ways as you are showing them. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'chunecha yisa Adonai p'navei lecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.